Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at tailormade101.com. That's TAILORMADE101.com for details. We have a great show in store for you today. So hello to everyone tuning in from Australia, Asia, Africa, Antarctica, Europe, and of course, North and South America. Jima and I are excited to be with you once again. So let's take a look at what's on tap today. First up, we're going to talk about Rihanna and Chris Brown. I want to know from you, should Rihanna take Chris Brown back? We're also going to talk about Rick Santorum. He calls the president, that's right, President Obama, he calls him a snob. We're also going to take a look at hair crack. Seems to me that it's causing tumors. And also, is it causing African Americans, women, to go more natural? And what's your Oscar picks for tonight? Will Viola Davis win one tonight? We also take a moment to take a look at good deeds. So sound the alarm. Get on Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, Tumblr. Send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter. And that's at TaylorMade101. I'll be reading your tweets live on the air. And I also have a chat room open. Out there in the chat room, you can leave your comments or ask questions. So whatever your pleasure, Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, or just plain old my bell, we want to hear from you. But first, let's take a look at our current events. Okay, before we get started, there are several reports that are confirming this, but I want to go ahead and get this out, and maybe you can send up your prayers or whatever to Nelson Mandela's family, but right now the Detroit Free Press is stating that former South African President Nelson Mandela has been hospitalized for a test to determine what is behind an undisclosed stomach ailment. And the country's current leader said that much-beloved 93-year-old icon was in no danger. Mandela, of course, a Nobel Peace Laureate who spent 27 years in prison for fighting racist right rule, has officially retired and last appeared in public in July 2010. He became South Africa's first black president in 1994 and served 1 5-year term. Now, Mandela has a long-standing abdominal complaint, and Dr. feels it needs proper special medical attention. So President Jacob Zuma said in a statement Saturday morning asking that Mandela's privacy be respected. In a follow-up statement later, Zuma added that Mandela had undergone a planned, undisclosed diagnostic procedure. Now, Mandela is fine and fully conscious, and the doctors are satisfied with his conditions, which they say is consistent with his age. But we're also happy that he is not in any danger, and we ask that you all send up prayers for Nelson Mandela. Also, the Associated Press is reporting that Irving Magic Johnson is launching a basic cable television network targeting black viewers with positive, uplifting images of African Americans. This is, of course, much needed. The former Los Angeles Lakers star tells the Los Angeles Times that his 24-hour Aspire channel would also offer opportunities for blacks who have struggled to find work in mainstream Hollywood. Again, this is also more good news. Aspire's mix will include film, TV, music, comedy, performing arts, and shows about faith. Now, the 50-year-old Magic Johnson, who was enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2002, says he's wanted a vehicle to show positive African-American images with stories written and produced and directed by blacks. Of course, there's been a lot going on with some agreements there, but Comcast Corporation reached an agreement with the FCC and the Department of Justice to diversify, and Johnson's, the word on the street is that Johnson's channel will launch late this summer, around June 30th, so be on the lookout for that. So first up, all right, let's get down to it. One of today's topics is in the wake of the news regarding Rihanna and Chris Brown. Now, of course, this is not a bash-em-up media type of show where we talk about celebrities and things of that nature, because we get down to the nitty-gritty and to the good stuff. But in this particular instance, is very intriguing because just most recently marked the 3-year anniversary of Chris Brown's infamous assault against then his girlfriend Rihanna. And it turns out that the exes that were forcibly separated after the beating by the court order could have been very well getting back together. Now, there are multiple sources confirm, and U.S. Weekly is one of them, that Rihanna and Brown are getting back together. Now, Rihanna and Chris Brown have been the topic of conversation because of domestic violence. It's one of the reasons we want to bring this issue up, is we want to know, should he take her back? Or should I say, should she take him back? Now, after the release of 2 songs on which Rihanna and Brown collaborated on most recently, rumors have been circulating about the musicians getting back together romantically. Now, however, a domestic violence incident in 2009 that resulted in legal trouble for Brown, and specifically, and of course, it battered Rihanna, has caused some domestic violence professionals to speak out about this issue. Now, Rita Smith, the executive director of National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, warned Rihanna that Brown's violent temper may not have changed since his assault over the last 3 years. Now, of course, after winning the Grammy about a week or two ago, Brown tweeted the following: "Hate all you want because I got a Grammy now. That's the ultimate F off." Now, of course, I don't use that type of language, but you can put in plug in F or whatever you want to. So this is according to Smith. The tweet was an indication of Brown's mental state. Now, the response was fairly belligerent and didn't really indicate that he had changed much in several years since the assault. You know, but this doesn't mean that he's going to do anything differently. But I want to know what you think. Is it too soon for them to get back together, or is it okay? Should Rihanna take Chris Brown back? Now, you all have seen Chris Brown over the last several weeks and months and years since the incident. You've seen some of his things, some of his behavior, his outbursts and things of that nature. Is he just being a young, you know, young, crazy young man, or is he just having fun? Or is this a more serious case that a young man is beating up a young lady and it could potentially happen again? Want to get your thoughts. We're going to take a break. And when we return, we're going to open up the phone lines and, of course, solicit my co-host, Jima. That's right, the famous Jima Hill Cook. We will be back in a moment. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company's tailor-made training and consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And of course, my East Boone friend.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. In just a few minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines. But before we do that, I would like to introduce to some and present to others, Jima Hill Cook. Jima, welcome to the show.
Excuse me. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, first up, Chris Brown. All right. So he got into a long altercation with Rihanna, beat her down pretty badly, got in some trouble, got on probation, went on to a rampage off on a couple of different shows. He was on a Today Show, and he threw a chair out the window, allegedly. And, I mean, you know, he had some issues for several years since the incident. Okay. So now it turns out that they're doing some collaboration on some songs, and it looks like, you know, reports out there that are saying that they may be getting back together romantically. So my question to you is, should Rihanna take him back? Now, this is not in the sense of a young lady taking back a rapper, but in the sense that a man beat a woman down and now they have an opportunity to get back together. Should he take her back?
Should she take him back?
Correct. Should she take him back?
I mean, you know, matters of the heart are a strange thing. And they've been separated for a while. And we can only hope that he's gotten some help, whatever those issues were that drove him to that point. We hope that those things have been dealt with. So, I mean, you know, there's a chance she has to take if she wants to go back with him, because she definitely knows what she's dealing with now if she didn't know before. So she knows now, you know, what she's dealing with, and if she's willing to take the risk, hey, who am I to stand in the middle of love, you know?
Okay. So you think, or your opinion is that she should take him back. That's what I hear.
No, I'm not saying she should. I'm saying if she chooses to, then she understands what she's dealing with. And, you know, although it seems as though the world hasn't forgiven him, she seems to have, if she's willing to work with him again, and even collaborate with him on any level. So that means she has some sense of forgiveness in terms of what they went through. So if she's at that point where she thinks, you know, they're ready to take it to the next level, hey, no power to her. I'm just saying she knows what she's dealing with because she's already been down this road before. And we can only hope and pray that he has received the help he's needed to address the issues that he was dealing with at the time, and which I'm not sure because just the other day he snatched somebody's cell phone, so he still seems to have a
allegedly.
Problem.
Allegedly.
Right, allegedly. So if that
so
happened,
what, was the, what do you mean by
the
world?
To have
what,
a temper problem.
Right,
huh?
What do you mean by the world hasn't forgiven him?
Well, I mean, anytime he appears anywhere, people still want to talk about that night and that day and what he did to her as if there's no room for redemption. And I disagree with that. You know, I think we all deserve a second chance, and some of us get 3, 4, and 5 chances. So I think if she's okay with being in his presence and don't feel like, you know, she's in any danger, then, you know, who am I to still throw it up in his face that he's this bad person? I mean, every time he appears on an award show, there's some sort of protest online, you know, like he shouldn't still be making a living or something. It can get a little petty and a little, you know, like people really overdo it sometimes when it comes to some people in the celebrity world. But, you know, so he you know, I'm not saying that I would get in a relationship with him, but she knows him more probably better than he knows himself, I'm sure.
Do you think that she's more willing to take him back now because she feels like since he did that, he will never do it again?
Well, that's the, you know, that's the trick because they, you know, you never know. And the only, you know, my only issue is that I hope whatever the demons were that drove him there in the first place, that he's honestly dealt with him. And I can't say that for sure if allegedly with him snatching somebody's phone, if that's true, then that means he still has some, you know, quick temper issues he needs to address.
So I wonder what type of advice that Ike Turner would give Chris Brown.
Now, you cannot compare Ike Turner and Chris Brown. Are
I'm
you?
Not comparing. I'm just saying I wonder what type of advice he would give her.
I
That's
couldn't
all I'm
give
saying.
Him any advice.
Why not?
Because Ike didn't try to work on himself. Ike didn't try to get no help for his issues.
We don't know that.
Well, if he did, we don't know nothing about it. So that means he didn't. How about that?
Well, I mean, it's likewise with Chris Brown. Here we are 3 years later, and allegedly he's taking somebody's phone. Allegedly he threw a chair out of a window. Allegedly he's been involved in these anger tweets. So, I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, he could be in the same boat as Ike. I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Well, that's
I wonder
I
what type of advice that Ike Turner would give Chris Brown.
Well, first, and I'm going to stick by my first point to say Ike could not give him any pointers. But that's why I'm going to go back to my original statement in which I stated, I hope he's gotten some help for those issues that obviously was plaguing his anger problems. And unless he's gotten truly in touch with what those triggers are that kind of send him over the edge fairly quickly, then, you know, he might be in another situation. Now, I do find it interesting that although he hasn't been in a quote-unquote, I don't know, any sort of relationship, we haven't really heard anything, you know, outside of this last thing with the phone with another female. We haven't heard anything. So that's interesting, I think. But I don't think Ike Turner can tell him anything. That's a good one, though.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And I don't want anybody by any stretch of the imagination think that I condone domestic violence. And in fact, if you are being abused, I would recommend that you get some help. And if it's happening right now, call 911. But in the instance that we're talking about here is the fact that you know, this situation has happened, and then now what? What should the woman do with respect to the relationship with the man? Should she take him back? And I asked that question in the backdrop of there's always different types of abuse, but if for some reason the society seems to put more on domestic violence against other type of abuse. For example, is it just as bad if a man cheats on a woman as is if he's beating a woman? In your eyes, Gene, and I want you to respond to this, is it worse for him to beat her or cheat on her?
Okay.
Because I say that because it seems to me that society is more willing to accept a man cheating, even if it leaves evidence, than it is if he hits her.
Well, here's the thing, though. There are some elements of society that accepts the abuser, the physical abuser as well. Here's my thing, and this goes back to a conversation I think we had last week and the week before, how we tend to put things in categories. We tend to compartmentalize. There's two areas I've already mentioned. We compartmentalize sin. We have big sins and little sins. We compartmentalize addictions. We have the real bad addictions, drugs and alcohol. We forget about the little addictions, quote-unquote, prescription drugs and sex and stealing and all that. And the same area as it relates to abuse. We have the really bad stuff that you do that we consider bad abuses, and we have the ones that, oh, it's okay. The verbal abuse, that's not as bad, you know, as physical abuse, as sexual abuse. And then sexual abuse, we put in categories whether it's a child, whether it's man on girl, whether it's woman on boy. We have all these categories. And because we have all these categories, we fail to get down to what's really driving the behavior. So, in my opinion, when you're talking about abuse, to me, abuse is abuse. It's not. I'm not putting it in the category. And anytime you intentionally do something to hurt somebody, and you intentionally do something to bring somebody harm, you have a problem. I have to make a decision as to whether or not I'm going to let you continue to do me harm. So for the drug addict who goes to work every day and I got to run to the bank on Friday to get the money out before he does, that's abuse. He's hurting himself,
yeah,
and he's hurting me. I have to make a conscious decision. I'm going to stay there and take that, right? Same
that's
way
correct.
With getting slapped upside the head.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't know any better, because that's what I saw, that's how I was raised, that's what people did, I've been convinced that, you know, that means you love me because you hit me upside my head. For some reason, I buy into that. Then I'm not. I don't see it as abuse. I see that you love me.
323-580-5712, the number to call. 323-580-5712 to join the conversation. The number to call is 323-580-5712. So which is worse, getting knocked upside the head or cheating? Or is it the same? How is it we live in a society today where one is more accepted than the other? And so I raised that question because everybody is talking about this whole Rihanna and Chris Brown thing, and everybody will give you their opinion on whether she should take him back or not. But it's only in the context of him hitting upside her head. You know, and that's what brings most of the controversy, because if he had cheated on her and was caught, then people seem to want to suggest that it's swept under the rug. But is that also a form of abuse? What do you think, Jima?
Is cheating a form of abuse?
Yes.
It can be.
Is it worse than getting knocked upside your head?
Well, I don't know. I'm not putting it in a category. If you intentionally go out and cheat and hurt me, you're hurting me. Whether you slap me upside my head or whether you go out and cheat and you come home with some disease that I can't get cured from, I'm now damaged. So either way, you have had a psychological impact on my psyche. Whether it's physical, whether you went out and cheated on me, because in cheating on me, then you're making me feel as though I'm less than, I'm not doing something for you. So now I'm questioning who I am as a woman, right? So, yeah, you know, I think on some small level, anytime it happens in that way, then it's a problem.
I understand. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to see if Chris Brown is going to take the next step. I'll tell you what I'm talking about when we return. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company's tailor-made training and consulting, Current Events, and AskGMA can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, AskGMA. And AskGMA says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And of course, my East Boom.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. So, Jimmy, let me ask you this. What could Chris Brown do, or what could anybody do in that particular instance, would make it right? Again, society has imposed on men this negative connotation associated with domestic violence. If you, and also women too, but in particular men. If he goes out, is there a thing, is there really redemption for a man for beating a woman?
That's a tough one. And I say that because, well, let me say this. Yes, because I believe in redemption. And I believe that, my faith shows me that we all have a place to go and ask for that. So the problem becomes, or the situation is, whether or not that person forgives you enough. And forgiving you enough doesn't mean I have to come back to you. That's not what it means. And forgiveness is usually for me. It's not for the other person. And so in saying that, I could very well forgive you and still make a conscious decision not to be back in a relationship with you. So, you know, just because I'm not in a relationship with you doesn't mean I don't forgive you. But it also doesn't mean that if I do forgive you, that I have to go back to being in a relationship with you. So, I mean, it's like the mother that abandoned her child and years later wants to, you know, rekindle that relationship. Well, I can forgive you, Mama, for not being there, but I don't have to be in a relationship with you. And I think sometimes we get that confused that forgiveness means now I got to go back to things go back to being the way they were, and that's not the case.
Okay. So what could he do potentially to make it right, if you will?
Well, I don't think there's anything he's really going to be able to do, because just for the very reason I said in the beginning, that's because we have various degrees of how we look at abuse in its totality. So all he can do is do what's best for him. By that I mean get the help that you need to address the issues that you have surrounding your anger, or what are those triggers, you know, what are those things, because he's a talented young man. He's full of talent. And you don't want that talent to be wasted because you can't control your temper. Because in this society, everything is captured immediately and everything is reported on immediately. And sometimes the reporting isn't always accurate.
Right.
But we don't care. We just got the – I mean, you know, we want to be the first to report, not the first to investigate.
Right.
And so all he can do is do his best to be an upstanding citizen, you know, stay out of trouble, don't get arrested for nothing. Because even if he goes out and decides he wants to, you know, somebody, you know, want to have a fight with him at the bar – it's going to be his fault, and he could very well be the victim in that case. But because of his past, you know, we're going to automatically assume he did something wrong to start it. So, you know, he just, you know, stay out of limelight, go do your shows, because people still want to see you. People still want to hear you, because, he is an awesome entertainer when it comes to dancing. And I'm not real sure what he'd be singing about, but, you know, it could be that age difference. But he's definitely an entertainer. So just stay in that lane. And if you're in a relationship, keep it private, because we don't even know about it.
All right, so what's the lesson for Rihanna in this situation?
Well, as I stated, Rihanna, if she has chosen to forgive him, which obviously I'm going to say she has because they are working together, that's fine. Be guarded. Be aware. Know what triggers him. Know what bothers him. And that's with anybody. You know, the next relationship she goes into, the first time they raise their voice, she should take that as a sign, as opposed to letting it rub off and not paying any attention to it. So there's, you know, most of the times, you know, there's some sort of sign that we get before the first instance of some sort of abuse, whether it's physical or whatever. We get a sign. We just don't always pay attention to it.
Okay, so what's in it for him? I mean, what lesson for him? I mean, how did he move forward and put this incident behind him?
Well, as I said, he just got to – I mean, he has to stay clean, basically. He has to – you know, stay in his lane in the world of entertainment, get some help to address his anger management issues and whatever other issues he has. Because, you know, as you know, I always say, what we see is the symptom of what's really going on. So when you have somebody that's constantly out there getting in trouble, that has more to do with something else than, oh, they just want to be seen. So he's at a point now, I think he took 2011 and kind of, you know, toned himself down a little bit after the incident earlier in the year with the chair. And I think that was on Good Morning America when he had the interview with Robin Roberts and all of that. And he just kind of got irritated. She was asking him about the incident that had happened 2-3 years prior. And on a small scale, I can understand that. But on another scale, he would have to know that question is coming. So,
right.
You know, how does he answer that? And hopefully he's been coached on how to say, you know, that was a rough period in my life. I'm trying to move on from that. you know, here are some things that I've done. Or if he don't feel like he needs to tell us what he's done, he can definitely just show us, because we'll be able to tell if he's learned anything based on his behavior.
You know, I wonder, would this be a part of his legacy? You know, when we talk about, for example, Michael Jackson's legacy was tarnished with the incident with the children. And, of course, I talked earlier about Ike and Tina Turner, how that relationship had some implications. And now with Chris Brown, I mean, people know, I mean, when I listen to his music, obviously, like you said, there's some talent there. But do you think this will be a part of his legacy for him to be, you know, to be the the poster child for domestic violence?
I hope not. And I say that because I really do believe in redemption. And I do believe in giving people second chances. And I think, you know, if they deserve a second chance, you know, if they put in the work for that second chance, I believe in it. So I hope that in 10 years we're not still talking about this incident that happened with him and Rihanna 20 years ago. If there,
you know,
I mean, if there's not another incident like it, I mean, if he doesn't have another incident like this that he had with her, I hope this isn't the one thing we remember him by.
You know, I say that because I remember every time that a rape incident comes up or something along those lines, they always want to bring back up Kobe Bryant and the incident he had. Anytime that there is some sexual improprieties on, you know, on a large scale, they always want to bring up Tiger Woods and what happened in his incident. And it seems like to me now, since
R. Kelly,
when you're talking about peeing on people, yeah. But I mean, there are there's other things associated with celebrities that they always bring up when those things arrive, and it seems like now that Chris Brown is becoming the poster child for domestic violence. I mean, there are other things like that, but it just seems to me that that's the case, and I like you hope that that's not the case, but it is incumbent upon him to be cognizant of that. And to be sure that his behavior is not indicative that going to make that association to that every time. And so people want to draw a direct line from his anger issues to domestic violence. When he throws a chair out of a window to domestic violence. When he makes a mean tweet to domestic violence. So they're now drawing a line to anything that he does to that incident. And so he has a lot of work ahead of him to be able to change that, especially when you're talking about legacy, because from this point forward, unless he does something to drastically change that, people are going to tie him to that.
Right. That's true. I can't argue with you on that. That's very true.
And so, and that's why I asked the question, what could he do to potentially change that imagery? What could he do to make to change the perception of people that that's not his behavior? And so far, I haven't seen him do anything, take any steps towards changing it. I mean, the most recent incident I talked about a few moments ago about the tweet, you know, him using the vulgar language and all of a sudden. So do you think it has anything to do with his age? Do you think it's the maturation process will kind of help him get past this?
Well, I think it has to do with having not completely addressed what's driving their behavior.
Right.
See, I mean, I don't know if I can make that any simpler than that. So when your first response is to respond harshly and go off on a rant, then that means that you haven't learned how to stop, count to 10, and pause before you say something. And you know, that's something that you learn. I mean, that's something that you learn how to do when you know you can go to 0 to 10 in 2.5 seconds. So, you know, he may have thought that because he dealt with one thing, he had dealt with everything. But you know, being a proponent of therapy opens the door, and it's up to you to decide, you know, how much is going to come out of that room once that door is open. So if all he wanted to deal with was just a piece of that problem, then that's all he dealt with. But if he's still having these sort of incidences, allegedly, you know, with the snatching of the phone and cussing the girl out and doing whatever he was doing and all that, then, you know, there's something else going on there. And I understand, you know, people sometimes take liberties with celebrities, thinking we can just snap a picture of them without asking. I get that. And, you know, on a small scale, we as fans do cross the line in terms of violating their personal space. Like, we own them, and they owe us something, and neither one of those are true. And so I can understand how that can get a tad bit irritating, but you still got to know how to handle it.
You know, one of the things that is disturbing to me is that when we see celebrities get involved in these extracurricular activities, I'm going to say drinking, drugs, erratic behavior, and in this particular case, anger, that there's no one around them that would try to get them help or to get them to and put them in a position where they can be managed, if you will. And I say that because when you look at celebrities' lifestyle, they obviously have access to capital and resources and things that help them get better. But it seems like to me that no one around them put them in a situation or tried to help them get better. And it's obvious to me that he could probably benefit from some anger management classes, right? Or at least some counseling where he would be able to talk and show dramatic improvement over a period of time. But when I hear an incident 3 years ago, and then today, 3 years later, you know, to the day almost, that he's doing something similar with respect to anger, then I wonder, is there someone around him that's trying to help him?
Right.
And so, I mean, there are cases where, of course, most recently we talked about drugs and we talked about, you know, the issue with Michael Jackson and most recently with Whitney Houston, the drug incident. But the same thing happens with other issues like anger. So what is around? I mean, why is it that these celebrities why am I not seeing the people around the celebrities put them in a better position to heal?
Well, because for one thing, we very seldom like to even admit that the people that we look up to and want to be like have flaws and have problems. That's number one. The second part of that is that we also spend a lot of time, because who would go out on a limb and say they want to be like somebody that got a whole bunch of issues? None of us would. So we act like they don't exist. And so that's one thing. The second part of that is that most of the times, not all the time, but a good percentage of the times, when people are around that particular person, you know, they're around them for a reason. You know, that person has a need for them to be there, and that person is meeting a need, and that person is getting their needs met as well. So because of that, it's going to be real difficult for me to tell you to stop doing something, because if I don't think you're going to, you know, listen to me, you might cut me off. So I don't want to be the one that's left out of all the good times, so I'm just not going to say nothing. That's sometimes. And then sometimes you've got people in positions, you know, of authority and power and fame and fortune that they know exactly what they're doing and they just don't care. So you know, they could have all the right people around them in the world, and if that's what they choose to do, at the end of the day, they are ultimately accountable and responsible for their actions.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. All right. Well, we're gonna take another break, and then when we return, we're gonna shift the conversation to a more of a presidential conversation, I should say. And in fact, we're gonna talk a little bit about Rick Santorum's comments that he made about the president being a snob. If you haven't heard this, you do not want to miss this part. Rick Santorum calls the president a snob. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a moment.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And of course, my Eastbourne friend.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. We're going to shift the conversation now to presidential politics. In particular, Rick Santorum's comment about the president. Now, if you haven't heard this, I want you to take a listen. Jim, I want you to respond. Take a listen.
Get value in the marketplace for their skills. And I know what it means to have those manufacturing jobs at those entry levels that get you in there and gives you the opportunity to accumulate more skills over time and rise so you can provide a better standard of living for your family. And that those opportunities for working men and women, not all folks are gifted in the same way. Some people have incredible gifts with their hands. Some people have incredible gifts and use and want to work out there making things. President Obama once said, he wants everybody in America to go to college. What a snob. They're good, decent men and women who go out and work hard every day and put their skills to test that aren't taught by some liberal college professor and trying to indoctrinate them. Well, I understand why he wants you to go to college. He wants to remake you in his image. I want to create jobs so people can remake their children into their image, not his.
Okay, that was kind of weird. First of all, he said that the president wants everybody in America to go to college. What a snob. Then he goes on to say that he wanted to, President Obama, he wanted to indoctrinate them by some liberal college professor. And then the third thing he said that I wanted to point out, he wanted to remake, President Obama wanted to remake you in his own image. Now, that was a lot of stuff going on there, Jimmy. Let's take the first one. Why would he call the president a snob?
Well, to quote Goldie Taylor, one of the a journalist I follow on Twitter, she said that, you know, that's code for uppity Negro.
Okay.
Snob, you know. But here, this coming from a man himself that have 3 degrees. So Rick Santorum himself is educated. So does that make him a snob?
Yeah, I just don't know when it came to be that wanting a better education or wanting education was a negative thing. What have we come to in our society when presidential politics has been reduced down to talking negatively about getting a college education? That's my point.
I really don't have an answer for you, because this particular political season has been crazy, and things that were normal are now on the other end of the spectrum. And so getting or wanting access to an education been something to be frowned upon or to be looked down upon as wanting to be something that you're not. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't know where he was going with that, but he got an applause from his base, whoever that base of people. Because, I mean, I guess they're, I don't know. It's been hard trying to wrap my hands around where he was going with that comment and why the name calling of the president in terms of calling him a snob. I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay, so what do you make of the language around this liberal college professor and the language around remake him in his own image? Where is he going with that?
Okay, and that kind of bothered me, and I wrote about it on our blog in terms of there's two things I said. A, also, I stated again, as did an article from the Washington Post, where it mentions the fact that here's a man talking about education, and he himself have 3 degrees, and yet the very colleges that he's talking about with these liberal people, which I've never figured that out, he went and got 3 degrees from them. So it can't be too bad, unless it just became bad under Obama. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe college and everything about it just became bad because President Obama is talking about it. Maybe that's what it is. And then the thing in terms of making someone in your own image, I've only read that in one place, and that's the Bible. That is not language that you hear used every day. No one
right.
walks around talking about making somebody into their own image, because I can't make you into anything. That's not my role. That's as President Obama said, that's way above my pay grade. You know?
Right, which leads me to believe that, I mean, this cold word, or this cold language he's using around theology, a theocracy, or around this sad, warped notion of political religion, right-wing, evangelical base that he's trying to appease, it seems like he's using some of the divisive politics.
For sure. And unfortunately, there's a select group of people that are going to buy right into that, and they're going to believe him, that the president is out trying to make people over and make them think like he thinks, and as if the president just has this kind of secret power and secret powder, shall I say, that he's sprinkling down from D.C. onto everybody else. And it's a sad state of affairs that we are in a time that the language that's used, you know, code language, and that they feel as though it's all okay and that we don't know what they're talking about. The thing that infuriates me the most is you think I'm dumb enough to not know what you really mean because just how you phrased it. That's the part that gets me, and I hope that whoever starts out tomorrow, and I hope it was talked about this weekend on any of the news shows, what did you mean by that? Make over
right,
his
right,
image.
Exactly.
You know, I hope somebody questioned that, or one of his surrogates, or whoever. But I need to know what you mean by that. And you're not going to be able to say, oh, you know, because he's real good at turning things around. But, you know, and he's a lawyer.
He's real good at lying. Because, I mean, turning things around, I mean, is one thing. I mean, like he said with the blah people, I mean, they're just plain out lying. You can't, I mean,
right.
You know, so I hear you about he's good at turning things around, but to me and from my standpoint, he's lying. And I don't know, there's no other way to put it, but he's lying, lying, lying. And so, again, when he gets ready to come out and talk about and address these issues, I want him to address the whole snob issue. A, is he saying that the president should not be championing education? You know, is he saying that the president is godlike? And he's trying to make people in his own image? And the president has never used that any type of language. So how is it that Rick Santorum is making the association when the president ain't never said anything like that?
Right, and that was what my initial problem with it was, too, is that here we are talking about we want to make, you know, the president is talking about wanting to make education affordable for everybody and wanting to, excuse me, and wanting, you know, not just, you know, colleges, but universities and community colleges and everything on every level so that people have access to. Because the battle we're fighting on an international level, we're losing. Because we're not preparing people to take on these jobs that are going to be available. And so people have to, you know, there's people that's been doing something for 20 years and that skill is no longer needed. You need to go get you another skill or
exactly,
you're going to
exactly
be left behind. And I think that's all the president is saying. And for Rick Santorum to make that out to be some bad thing, to make that out to be some, you know, he's trying to make you over into somebody that you don't want to be, that's just pure insanity to me. That man's a lunatic. And I said it then, I said it, and I mean it. He is a lunatic
right
to the 12th degree. There's no way possible. And for anybody that's voting for him, I have to question their level of insanity as well. Because he's a lunatic.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, I'm not sure what's going on with the Republican Party. And I can't say that I haven't followed presidential politics that closely before, because I have. And in fact, I had a couple of debate watch parties, and when Bush was in office, I was heavily involved in the political process for an extended period of time. But I don't remember ever going through this type of language or rhetoric by the Republican Party of this magnitude. I heard a lot about the religious, you know, white right wing nuts and some language they use. Of course, you know, you hear Limbaugh talk crazy all the time, but from the politician themselves, from it coming out their mouth and using the language and name calling and all the lying and stuff like that, I have never seen this before. What about you?
Never. And I agree. You know, I've been pretty much aware of what's going on in the world of politics for a little while now. This isn't my first rodeo, as they say. And I'm appalled at the language. I'm appalled at the innuendos. I'm appalled at, just as you said, just the outright lying. You know, it's one thing to make a misstep, or to have a quote unquote gaffe, as they say. But these people are just completely out the box. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the majority of it has absolutely nothing to do with the president's policies or his practices, but it has a lot to do with the fact that here's a man that sits in the highest office of the land that looks like you and me, who's African American, whose father was from Kenya, and he was raised in Hawaii. So that gives him this exoticness that the average person can't seem to wrap their mind around. So they want to continue to make him be other, as opposed to being the very fabric of what this country was built on. And so it pains me that in 2012, you know, we have to continue to defend and argue the point as to whether or not it's because he's black or not, when we all know that that's exactly what it is. And until we start, you know, calling it like it is and calling people out on it, they're going to continue to try to get away with it.
Okay, so what does this say about the Republican Party, or should I say, what does this say about the Republican Party's constituency?
Well, here's what I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt and say that it's not all of them, but currently it's the ones that's in front of the microphone. But and it just happens to be the ones that's running for president of the United States.
The main ones.
There are some that when I hear them, you know, every now and then, you know, Michael Steele.
Oh, by the way, send me an email with a list of them because I want to know.
Huh?
Just send me an email with a list of them because I need to know.
Right. Every now and then, Michael Steele, you know, has a point that you know, he doesn't carry and doesn't carry the old company line. You know, he'll go against the grain every now and then. And so because of that, I have to have hope that eventually, you know, others will get on board and begin to denounce some of this craziness that's going on. But until then, I mean, we got to ride it out and just see where the end going to take us, because I have no clue.
I disagree with that. I don't think we have to ride it out. I think we need to stand up and say something. But because people continue to disrespect the president and call him names and play with his theology as if it's something that can be kicked and tossed around, like it's okay. I can't have a respect or an appreciation for a politician that continues to play that game. The game of calling a man out of his name, the game of calling the president of the United States a snob, the game of saying that because you champion education, that you're doing something, but you're trying to make people in your own image. I mean, all that type of rhetoric, to me, needs to be challenged by the mainstream media. I'm not understanding.
Right.
How they continue to get away with that and not being challenged on it.
Well, I agree. You know, a lot of times, and I think I was having this conversation either with you or with somebody else, but and even when they get them on their show, they never ask the next question. You know, they never go beneath the surface. They stay right there on top of it. And I know a lot of it has to do with ratings and all of that, but at some point, you know, the American people need to know the truth. And if you have that person sitting in front of you, then I feel as though it's your obligation as that journalist to get to the truth. But the problem is, it's not like we have a lot of journalists on television. We have a lot of
reporters, maybe.
We have reporters. We have a lot of pundits.
Right.
We have
exactly.
A lot of opinions. We have a lot of people that are in, as
exactly.
They say on Fox, opinion news. So it's not like they're really trying to get to the news. You know, and so because of that, they probably don't even know how to ask the next question.
And that's sad, and it does a disservice to the American public at large, because if you allow that to take place, and then, you know, that makes other people believe that they can do it too. If I'm on national television and I got my hand in the president's face, and I'm a woman, I think it's okay to be able to stick my hand in the president's face. If I'm
right.
on national television, I can call the president a lie. You know, I think it's okay for me to call the
right.
president a lie. You know, if I'm
right.
on the national stump and I'm saying that president is a snob, everybody believes it in that audience believe that that's something they can do. And I'm saying that we should be at some point challenge these people
right.
and not allow them to continue to respect the office of the presidency.
Right.
In particular, to disrespect the man, President Obama. We're going to go to the phone lines. The number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. Hello, you're on Current Events with Patrick Cook. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Ron Terry, calling from Arlington, Texas. How are you?
Hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a quick comment. As far as the situation with the lady pointing her finger in the president's face, or anyone saying any statements that they please or deem worthy of their need to say to the president, don't you think it would violate our constitutional rights and our freedom of speech by saying there should be some type of standard as far as how far you can go with statements or gestures when you're talking to political leaders?
You know, I believe, yes, to answer your question, I believe that there is a threatening posture one can take, especially when they're in close proximity to the President of the United States. In particular, what the young lady did was, to me, an obvious gesture of a threatening posture against the President of the United States. Especially if you're in that close approximation with the president and you got your hand, to me, that's threatening. I mean, by in no matter where you are in the world, that's a threatening posture. So although, yeah, I think that when you're talking about your First Amendment to the Constitution, your freedom of speech and things of that nature, yeah, of course you have the right to say as you choose, but there are limitations to what a person can say. For example, if I go in and call my boss a bald-faced lie, and I tell him, you know, to his face, there are consequences to that. Yeah, I have the right to say it. But there are consequences to that behavior. And so I think what we're seeing, people disrespect the president. Not saying that they can't, but we're seeing them disrespect him.
Yes. My next question would be that, because I brought this up in the political seminar that I attended at University of Texas, Arlington, this past week. Do you think that by any means it had anything to do with the race of our president now, even along the lines as far as how the Secret Service handled the matter by not intervening, for the president in a situation that someone was putting their hands in his face?
You know, I'm going to let Jima feel that one. I'm going to say this before. In my opinion, my humble opinion, the Secret Service has failed in a lot of instances when it comes to the president. Let me take you back to the young man that drove down the street that the White House was on and took shots at the president with, and then get apprehended to like days later. When you got people obviously walking on top of the president's house. At all times, you got guards that are in front of, and he didn't get apprehended until days later. So, I mean, let me take you to another incident when the Salehis or whatever the names were caught, were snuck through and got crashed the White House party. You know, another time when they failed, and so now you have this third case, and there are others. That when a young lady gets into the close enough to the president where she can have an extended conversation, heated in nature, and then put herself in a threatening position against the president, and they take no action.
Right.
So it's not just a single or isolated incident that this has occurred, but it occurs over and over again. Now, I have always suggested that, you know, I can have a solution. I mean, you can get the fruit to protect the president, and I think we can solve a lot of these issues. Jimmy, you think? Jimmy,
well, and I think also the other spectrum of that. If just look back in history, and we don't have to go that far. We can just go back to President Bush and or President Clinton, you know. And can you say that you saw anything like this happen under any other president?
Never.
Ever. So and even at Bush's, and we know he lied. Nobody ever stood up in the middle of his State of Union and called him a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And he was one because he lied about why we went to war. Nobody, not another elected official, ever stood up and done that. So it goes back to what you were saying earlier in terms of, you know, what our rights are by Constitution. I have a right to do a whole lot of stuff, but I need to have some discernment about what I do and when I do it and how I go about doing it. And so with all of the things that happened, even under President Clinton and even under President Bush, no other time have you seen such blatant disrespect. I'm not even going to say to the office of the presidency. No other time. And both of them done some things that was egregious, illegal. Clinton lied under oath about having relations, and nobody ever stood up on the floor while he was giving a State of the Union address and called him a liar, right? It didn't happen.
So can it be concluded that it actually could be a race issue, even within the internal systems of the Secret Service or Department of Defense, whoever handles the president's security? So could it be construed that it's a racial issue with the president being African-American?
Well, I'm going to limb and say, yeah. I mean, I've tried to rule out every other thing that it could be. You know, when you look at the history of the Office of the United States Presidency, when you look at all of the other occurrences of State of the Union speeches, of similar speeches, of interactions with other people that the president goes through, when you take a look at all other instances that it takes. That a president goes through on a day-to-day activity, and you can isolate this over and over again, this incident where this president is blatantly disrespected, then you have to conclude that it is because of his race.
Absolutely. I had the same ideology as far as that. Now, what happens going forth? Is it something that someone in a political standpoint of view could bring to the forefront? Is it something that you think he's actually addressing with his Secret Service or anyone else of that matter? I mean, it's evident.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think the way that we address this issue is that we make sure he gets back another 4 years. It is incumbent upon us as a race of people that we look at this as a passing of the baton. And you look at what Harriet Tubman did to get the slaves free. She passed the baton to the next generation, was the civil rights generation. When you look at Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and that generation of superstars, they laid the groundwork for a President Obama and Al Sharpton, for Jesse Jackson, all those things. So they are now past the baton. Now, the scars that Harriet Tubman had to endure are different from the scars that Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, they had to endure, which are different from the scars that President Obama, Al Sharpton, they have to endure. So in order for us to, for him to pass the baton or take the legacy forward or to move the cause forward, he has to endure this. It is painful. It could be egregious at times, and it's very difficult for us to bear, but he is the right man for the job. There is no other brother in the world could be as smooth, calm, collected to be able to endure what he is doing right now. So it's incumbent upon us to recognize that, to us to participate in the fact that everything he has going on, that he's taking these blows. He's taking these blows so he can move the baton forward. He can move our cause forward. So we can't be on the sidelines sleeping. You know, it doesn't take the form of us, the Underground Railroad, like it did hundreds of years ago. It doesn't take the form of us sitting on the Montgomery bus boycott. It doesn't take that form. It takes a different form these days. So we can't be on the sidelines, though. Because the revolution is happening right now. I mean, things are happening right now. And we wanted to take the form of an underground railroad, or we're looking for a march, or we're looking for that. No, it's happening right now. It's happening at the voting booths. It's happening in education. It's happening, you know, in inside the classrooms, on the corners. I mean, it's happening. We just need to make sure that we don't get caught up in all of these smoke screens that they're doing, and we're not involved in the fight. That's it.
A little bit off the subject. I know I'm taking you guys' time up.
No, man, we love it.
President Obama had a very strong support during the election year, prior to him being in office, not only with African Americans, but also with students of young age, college students, you know, children coming of age to be able to vote. Polls showed that he is not going to have that political support during this election. What is it that we can do as African Americans in our community, not just African Americans, but people as a whole, to generate support for the president in this upcoming election?
You know, I think again, I'm going to let Jim also field that question, but I'm going to tell you simply this. The messaging that's out there, or for the media outlets that are out there, will lead you to believe that the world is falling apart, that President Obama has not done anything, the healthcare legislation was the worst it can ever be. And it's harder for them to suggest that the economic situation is in dire straits, because when you look at the data shows that that's not the truth. So it's hard for them to say, oh, the economic situation is bad because jobless numbers are increasing or decreasing. When you look at the stock market, it's increasing. When you look at people's wages, they're increasing. So you can't argue that. But everything else, they can begin to put people in a box because there's no clear, concrete data that gives them otherwise. So to answer your question, we have to have a relentless effort towards the truth. Jimmy and I was having a conversation about what the president has done for the middle class, right? When we talk about, when you look at the fact that the housing, that for you to be able to reduce your mortgage interest rate from 6% to 4% is unheard of. For you to be able to get a payroll tax cut for extended, that's putting more money in your pocket, is unheard of by a Democratic president. For him to have all of the, when it comes to student loans and education, he's done a phenomenal job by us. When it comes to credit card legislation, he's done a phenomenal job. When it comes to, it's so much he's done. Healthcare. We just had a debate about birth control, where now it's going to be free for so many women. And so, I mean, it's time and time. It's so many laws and so many things he's done over the last 4 years. We have to make sure that message get out. We have to. We cannot allow that mainstream message to be the message that ends up being the message of the day. That's why I have a talk show. That's why I'm on Twitter. That's why I'm on Facebook. That's why I have a blog. I mean, because we need to make sure we're at war, basically. And so, and it goes back to my point about we got to get in this fight. And so our job must be to make sure that the word gets out about this issue. Jima, you say what?
Well, I say a couple of things. I say we, you know, when you're talking about employing people to go out to cast their vote, you want them to be informed. And so that's why it's important, as Patrick was saying, that they know what this president has done for them. A lot of times we hear the pie in the sky. And so if I don't own a home, then I'm really not concerned about a mortgage.
Right.
If I don't, you know, if I'm on the at the bottom and I don't really pay a whole lot in income tax, then that's really not doing nothing for me. So what is it, you know, what can we tell that college student in terms
right.
of the one that's still in or the ones that's graduating? Are you in a field that we know is going to be increasing over the next 10 years? Because, you know, you may have to change something up a little bit if you want to be a part of where, you know, this country is going on a global level. And so we have to say the message and give the message in the language that whoever we're talking to at that moment understands it. And that might be different from your college buddies, Ron, as it is from Brub Man on the street. So,
absolutely.
So we have to make sure that when we're talking about what he's done, that we make it personal. And we can talk about healthcare in so many ways, and I don't even think people really understand it because it's so big to them. But I'm waiting on the day, and on a personal level, I'm waiting on the day when this part kicks in and my brother, who doesn't have insurance, can get his medications for free. That's what I'm waiting on, and that's coming.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting on. And you know, that's what I tell a person who don't have insurance, who don't, you know, who doesn't have a home, who ain't paying that much in tax. I mean, I tell them about something that I know they can relate to. And that's what we got to do a better job of. And mainstream is not going to give you that. They're going to give you the sound bites. And as Patrick stated, they're going to make it seem like the world is falling apart, Chicken Little. You know, these Republican candidates are a bunch of Chicken Littles running around talking about the sky is falling. The sky is not falling. It is not falling by any stretch of the imagination, but they have nothing else to give you but fear. And so, and even those of us in the African-American community that want to play like, oh, he hasn't done anything for me, okay, you go ahead on and you sit this one out, and then I want you to tell me what he did for you, because you won't see it. Because the next group that's coming in, they don't even respect. When they say they want to take their country back, you need to ask yourself, what do they mean by that?
Absolutely.
You know, and if you can tell me what they mean by that and how you're going to be impacted and affected by them taking their country back, for all these people that don't want to go out and vote, they trying to make you not be able to vote anyway. You got 20-some-odd states that's passed legislation this year on making it more difficult, not easier, but more difficult for people to vote. And so, you know, that's taking their country back. So those are the things. We just got to talk to them on their level and find, and just, you know, we have to ask them, well, what is it that you wanted him to do that you haven't seen him do yet? And then say, well, who has he had helping him? Who has he had working with him? And the other thing about it too, Ron, is that when we looked at what happened in 2010 in the mid-year election, the media would tell you that Black America didn't show up to vote. That's why so many Republicans got in office in terms of Democrats versus Republicans. That's not necessarily the case. What study has shown, according to, I want to say it was the Black Enterprise, is that in terms of numbers, we showed up in the same amount of numbers that we show up in every off-year election. So our percentage numbers didn't go up or down. We were the exact same as we were, you know, in 2006, and we did the same thing. So it wasn't our numbers that had an impact on the midterm election. It was independent voters who switched over to the other side, and that's what nobody wants to talk about. They're the ones that flipped over to the Republican side, and now they got to deal with all what they're dealing with. So we have to just make it plain, and we have to make it simple, and we just got to meet them where they are and just say, well, what is it that you're not happy with? Because it might not even be about the president. It might be about your local government. It might be about the people you have in your state house, you know, in your state senate that's having an impact on you right now. You thinking it has something to do with the president.
That's right. All right, we're going to take another call. Ron, thank you for your call.
Great advice. You guys are doing a great job.
We appreciate it. All right, caller 7102, you're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Patrick and Jima. This is the Esquire Abby, self known as Motor City Mile Ronnie. I'm wired up, fired up, just got through really taking in Mayor Kilpatrick. He did a public annunciation about his life and that he's a changed man.
Oh.
I'm telling you, it was really something. Yes, it was something. And, I mean, he left with a smile on his face. He looked actually 15 years younger.
Wow, that's awesome. So tell us about it.
Well, you know something, I tell you, I think it's going to be tragedy. It's tragedy at first. It's going to translate to triumph because, you know, to be the man, you sometimes got to become a made man. And I think that through his experience, he has now become a made man. And I think that he's going to be a starring example of so many young men who are going through the areas of tragedy, knowing that they can overcome these areas when they allow their emotions to overtake them and allow the media to pour them into a mold that does not configure to the trueness of their character. So now we've got him as a prime example. So I think if we get him back up and running, and along with President Obama and with such a wonderful show host as yourself and other primal examples, we got it made in the shade. And that brother you just called, you know something, I say the three-piece factor. You got to be proactive, progressive, and public.
All right.
The way you're going to make sure that our president retains and maintains the integrity of his posture and of his position, because if you don't delegate to get him back in here, who in the hell are you going to put in there? You're going to get somebody in there from the opposing side who wants to see you back in slavery. These candidates that they have running, I am very concerned, because you know something? I don't deem them as very humanitarian candidates at all. You know, Mitt Romney literally said that he did not care. And he didn't say an actual word, but I gathered the message, and I know I'm pretty effective when it comes to synopsizing statements, that he did not care about the lower and the lower working class poor and the impoverished. His concentration were the middlemen, the multi-million dollar makers. This is his focus, the corporates. This is his focus. He does not care about struggling African Americans. The only color he cares about primarily is the green. And if you turn around and you turn your back on the president in this hour after all the accomplishments that he's made, you have to be a F-O-O-L in capital captions, no questions asked. I'm talking about our oxymoron alumnut status. You done already gained it because this president is a humanitarian. He has been productive in the area of educational integrity. He has awarded, and our school is actually getting a FISBO grant because we have shown progressive achievement within the ranks of grades 6 through 8. We're going to get a multi-figure grant in the upcoming year because he says why? Educational establishments that show productivity, that show improvement will be rewarded, as well as teachers who are going above and beyond their status quo are also being rewarded. So I look at that 4% as being $40 more in my pocket. I look at my endeavors as an educator finally being awarded. We got 13% increase for the Title I block grant for our state, which means that we can feed more children, we can go into more households, help those families to make those much-needed changes. We're looking at the grassroots initiation about how he's actually communicating with our unions. We have three of the biggest allegiances with the union. We have the DFT, which is the Detroit Federation of Teachers. We have the Michigan Federation of Teachers. And we have the American Federation of Teachers. He has been very, very effective in hearing them out, hearing what their complaints are. That's the reason why he's fighting for public education, because it's up to Romney, if it's up to Santorum, they would kill public education, crucify it publicly without having any degree of conviction. So he's definitely supporting public education, which means a lot more of us are going to remain employable. It means that we're going to continue to grasp those students that the charter schools and the privatized schools refuse and refuse to accept. That means that we're going to see a great change over as far as school-based clinics. We got our school-based clinic back open, operating
wow,
and running
that's great.
For those parents who don't have medical coverage. So he's doing a lot of great things on the grassroots level. And I think that brother needs to do a little research. He needs to go to ObamaForAmerica.com and click on the icon that says "Tell the Truth."
Let me ask you this, Abby. I have a person out in the chat room saying that it would have been better if this is his comment. He says that Obama has failed to achieve full employment. And he says that he could have put a shovel in the hands of every black man if necessary to achieve full employment, but he didn't. What do you think about that?
Uh-oh, I got to get blunt. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell it like a T-I-S-T.
He said Obama has blown the opportunity to bring jobs to the hood, allow him to go home and play a pickup game.
You know something, you can lead a horse to the water, but I'll be doggone, you can't make him drink. Under the Bush administration, you know what, he took the manual labor jobs, and let's be for real, and he contracted them out to third world countries or impoverished countries as an act of desperation so he could pay them far less and get far more. So President Obama came and inherited the garbage pit, the very asinine, how would you say, festering component of what Bush left behind to try to make a way to reshape, realign, and redesign what was done and to, how would you say, repair, make reparations for the damage that was done. So when you talk about a shovel, my brother, whoever it is that you are, you know what? You as a man, you have a responsibility yourself. No president is going to pave a way to personally give you a job. That is on your personal level. If you're not in an educational criterion that's effective enough to make you marketable and employable, the way that has been paid from the governmental level, go back to school. Get a trade. Everybody is not collegiately apted, but you can learn a trade. And under the administration that he's done, because I know for a fact a couple of the workers decided to get out of the educational system and go back for a trade, they're now pipe fitters and working as engineers. Because why? They took advantage of the opportunity. So it's not his job to hand deliver you anything. The assets, the commodities are there. Whether or not you're going to stand in line, my brother, and take advantage of it, it's all up to you. Don't blame the president because you lack the propensity to go out there and make it happen. Change only happens when those people desire to make sure that it happens, and they take all of the right footsteps to make sure that it does. So that's not his responsibility. Being a man, you got to turn around and assume responsibility.
Okay, Jim, what do you say to Green Beasley in the chat room that says that he could have put a shovel in the hands of every black man if necessary to achieve full employment? What do you say, Jim?
This is why we fail to get ahead often, because we are not always truthful with ourselves. By that I mean we act like every person that is not working is looking for a job. And we know that's not true, because their lifestyle does not warrant that they looking for a job. I go back to the case of the plant that went down to Alabama. I want to say it was Hyundai or something like that. And they had 2,500 jobs that they were trying to fill. And they had to interview well over that amount, because the majority of the people were failing background tests and drug tests. Now, that ain't got nothing to do with the president.
That's right.
If you want a job, as Abby just said, you're going to make yourself employable.
Thank you.
That means if for only a little while you stop doing whatever you're doing because you know they're going to give you a test, Then you can't come back and say the man don't want you to have a job. No, you don't want you to have a job because you couldn't quit smoking.
That's right.
Long enough to get the job.
Right, right.
And I can say this on a personal level. I know people in my family, who I know it's not about their skill. It's not about, you know, what they can do. They just will not stop smoking weed. I'm just going to put it out there in the atmosphere. They just will quit smoking weed. So they ain't going to pass the piss test. So now, is that President Obama's fault that we got to drug test people? No. That's just how it works in society. So let's not play like everybody that's unemployed is really looking for a job and they really can't find one. Because that's not true.
That's right.
That's not true. And we have to stop acting like the president is agreed, walk down, and I'm going to my old neighborhood in Wyandotte County, Kansas, on 27th and Quindaro, and hand out a shovel to bruh man them on the corner that's been on the corner for 10 years. That's
right.
Where they been.
Right.
That's right.
So they wanted something else. They could do something else, but they found comfort in being on the corner. So I can't do nothing for them. But maybe for their children, I can make sure that they are learning what they need to learn in their school, which is what he's trying to do, get us all to race to the top, because we've already left so many children behind. So we're trying to, you know, right that ship and turn that thing around and get us back to teaching skills as opposed to teaching to a test. And what we fail to realize is with that, that means we got to retrain our educators, because
that's
how they were trained, was to teach to a test.
That's it.
So now we got to go back in and get them on board to go back to, let's talk about phonics. Let's talk about how you conjugate a verb. I mean, these things that we learned, they don't teach that anymore. And we're trying to figure out why we're falling behind. So there's a, you know, the shovel. Some people would have looked at the shovel and said, I don't want no shovel. I ain't trying to work outside. I need to be on the inside. So it wouldn't have mattered. He could have gave everybody a shovel, and I bet everybody wouldn't have took one.
Right.
Right.
They'd have complained about it being too heavy.
They would have complained about the shovel. It's either going to be too hot
too
or too cold.
My shoulder hurt. My hand hurt. And you know, behind what Gina just said, and I want to say behind the point where she said, and it's a shame, because we were trained, you know, under Houghton Mifflin to teach to the test. They had this test called the Terra Nova, you know, the MEET test, which is the Michigan Education Assessment Profile. It's a standardized test. They got rid of the Terra Nova. Now they're saying we have to do benchmark assessments. So back again, we're teaching to the test. Now the new phase anomaly of things is that we've got to go back to the whole language concept. We're back with Houghton Mifflin. We're back with what they call an open court language series, which is 14 components to the whole language concept. We've got to reverberate, restructure, realign, and redesign. How in the world do you do that? when you turn around, you have all these children who are coming, who are coming with some degree of challenge when it comes to behavior modification. So it kind of puts four, five panels on one person. And for a person to sit up and say, with all the responsibilities we have as educators, somebody put a shovel in your hand, and I hate to be critical, man, you must be kidding. You got to be fooling yourself.
Yeah, and he didn't respond, which leads me to believe that I think you all made your point and made it very well.
Here's the other part to that, though. And then this is what people, you know, sometimes irritate me on, because they act like these problems that we have appeared in 2008.
Right.
Like all of a sudden, the day President Obama was elected, then all of a sudden we had double unemployment in the black community. We've always had double unemployment in the black community. It may not
have been
double digits, but even under Clinton, when it was 8% everywhere else, when it was 4% everywhere else, it was 8% in the black community. And we keep acting like that this is some new phenomenon, and it's not.
That's right.
And a lot
it's
of it
not.
Has to do with the fact, and you know, you go back to the Clinton years and those drug laws. He had a lot to do with why now you got so many young men of color that can't get certain types of jobs because of their records.
That's right.
And then you put these Republican governors in, and they're not going to, you know, pardon you for nothing. So now you come out, it's certain jobs you can't do anymore if you got a felon. You know, certain careers you can't go into because of this.
That's right.
And so it's a domino effect that happened long before President Obama even thought about probably running for president. This stuff
goes
back, you know, 10, 20 years, and we want him to fix it in four. That's not fair. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not logical.
It's not.
And it does him a disservice. And you do yourself a disservice if you think it can happen. If you just woke up, that's your fault. You just woke up. But this stuff has been going on for a minute. It has been a systematic approach to limit the power of the black voice, period. And they've done it legally by their laws has been placed on the book. And if we want to act like that has not happened, shame on us.
That's right. I agree with you. And you know something, and you know, Gina, to add on to what you said, and Patrick, they did it also commercially, because you know what they did? And we protested, Quebec, Citizens Against Billboard Advertising, you know, illuminate the use of the 40 ounce to denounce what's going on in your life.
Right.
All through the hoods. And like the man got hood mentality, ditch that damn hood mentality, because that's not crap. Because they were putting all this stuff in the neighborhood, southeast Detroit, on women Stanley Clay drinking a 40 ounce and a man standing next to her like she a prize to be contended for. Liquor stores on every corner. So, my brother, let's tell it like it is. They had set out this scheme to destroy and to disintegrate the black community, as Gina said, 20, 25, 30 years ago, when they put up all these establishments with these liquor provisions in them to give you a cheap way out. And what do you see when you go into southeast Detroit? And I'm going to call it like it is. You see a big sign in front of the store that says liquor, lotto, cash your check. We accept food stamps. Subliminal message. What you telling me? Okay.
Let me challenge some on that, though. Isn't it incumbent upon those people in those neighborhoods to prevent those billboards, prevent those companies coming in, to make sure they got the right representation for city councils are concerned, to not allow that to happen? I mean, we live in a community where they were trying to put up a business. And the business was and what's interesting about the conversation that I was in the city council meeting was that the business didn't have a name. It was a business owner that wanted to come and purchase some property and wanted the freedom to put up what he wanted to. And so what they did in the meeting was say that, okay, here's what you will not do in that building. And so although the business owner didn't come with a definite answer, what they did was the opposite. You will not have a truck stop there. You would not have a liquor store there. You would not have, you know, so they gave that outline since it was a business owner wanted to buy property and wanted to buy a building. They outlined what he would not do. And I thought that was an interesting take upon the city and the city council and the community, the people of the community, to take action so they wouldn't have those things. And so my point is this. Isn't it incumbent upon African-American community to do the same thing when it comes to allowing those things to happen to their neighborhoods?
Yes, I agree with you. It is incumbent to that. And you know something, I have to be real and I tell it like it is with the city of Detroit. Mm-hmm. I have found that there's been a lacking of cohesion and collaboration amongst city council members. Everybody seems to be disenfranchised and disemboweled with their own agenda coming to the table. And then the citizens are so caught up in the anomaly of trying to be ghetto superstars oftentimes, quote unquote, me not, and often to everybody else's business, but the right business. And I hate to be so blunt, Patrick, and listen, but they just act like they simply don't care. There's no collaboration there.
Yeah.
And the only time there is any degree of collaboration, and I hate to be so blunt again, is when there's some type of community grant going on where you can get money to improve your house or to improve what you have, and all of a sudden people want to pour out at the city council meetings. They don't take an invested interest in their communities and in their neighborhoods. You know, as long as they feel like they got 15 cents on a dollar, the hell with what you don't have across the street.
Right.
Your child goes to that liquor store, and we've had 5 fatal shootings at a gas station right here on Charmant and Kirchable, here in the city of Detroit, southeast vicinity. And I got to the people at the block club, and I said, you all need to close this establishment down. The last straw was when he shot and killed a woman, leaving out the story. He claims she stole a 25-cent little Debbie cake.
Wow.
He shot her in the back. You know, I couldn't get 5 people to go forward and say, this has to stop. Only 2 people. 2 people stood up and say, this man has to go. Instead of closing the establishment down permanently, he was closed down like 2 months. They shipped him back to Iraq or whatever part of the Middle East he came from. And another owner came in and reopened it. There's no collective unity. As much unity as we had was during the Civil Rights era. But since that passed, Patrick and Jim and listen, audience, it has been a tragedy as it relates to having unity in this city. And I know it's probably pro capita in a lot of cities, but I can talk about Detroit because I'm here.
You know, speaking of Detroit, Michigan is a battleground state, if you will, for the Republican Party right now. They're saying that Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum and everybody else is fighting for that state. And if word on the street has it that if Rick Santorum wins Michigan, it could be an uproar in the GOP. Jim, what's your position on Mitt or Rick Santorum winning Michigan? And then I'll have Abby respond.
Well, I mean, I think it would be an uproar because he has not shown himself to be stable enough to go the long haul. And if he wins Michigan, and anything can happen after Michigan. But, you know, it prolongs the race that much further, which, you know, gets them not necessarily on message. Because at this point, I don't know what none of them stand for. I know what they all against, which is President Obama. But neither one of them have outlaid a platform about anything. And it would be a hard pill to swallow if I was Mitt Romney and I called Michigan my home state and I'm not winning my home state in a primary. Just like when Al Gore ran for president and he didn't win Tennessee. If you can't win your home state, something wrong with you.
Something's wrong.
You know, you've missed the mark. Now, Mitt got about 5 home states, so, you know, I'm not real sure how high Michigan ranks on the level, but I guess because that's where his daddy was and whatnot, he claims it. But I think if Rick Santorum wins Michigan, it's sad because he is, I don't even know, because he's so far out the box that I don't know how the people there could take him serious to be the one that could contend against President Obama in a general election. I don't understand it.
So Abby, what's the feel on the ground? I mean, you're down there on the ground. I know you hear the people talking, and you hear your colleagues at work favoring one candidate over another. So what do you think? What's happening on the ground? Will Mitt win Michigan, or will it be Rick Santorum?
You know something, I'm like Jimmy. You know, we've been hearing some talk within the community, and I'm going to tell you what the talk is. Somebody mentioned something about Ron Paul, and he's likely of the 3 allies. the Access Movement.
Right.
And they said, well, how convenient would it be for Ron Paul to win the state of Michigan and oust out Santorum and really slap Romney in the face, because Romney feels like he has ownership to the state of Michigan. His dad, George Romney, was the governor here in Michigan for 3 terms. At that time, you know, they were 4-term turnabouts. And that he didn't have a lot of friends on that level either, because a lot of people didn't like some of his notions regarding state policies. They felt that it was somewhat tyrannical. And by him being the son of George Romney, I think there's a lot of reserve about supporting Romney. So if he does garner any degree of support and a possible victory, I see perhaps the corporate magnates supporting him, because you know Gannett Enterprises, which backs the Detroit Free Press and Detroit News, did endorse him as their candidate of choice. So if so, it's
Which one did they endorse?
Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so they endorsed him, and I see if that happens, it certainly won't be from the standpoint of the citizens, because I truly believe that they will support Santorum, because he more appeases to the common working class people and that younger set and generation. Ron Paul, but more so to the senior citizens class, that he's appeasing to them. But I believe that he's going to win it. Romney is going to win it. It's going to be not by a wide margin. It's going to be by a narrow margin, but he's going to pull it off. And this is going to really cause a pull, because you think about Santorum, where does he go from here?
What's giving you the feel on the ground that Mitt Romney will win Michigan? What is the chatter, or what are the people saying that's giving you an indication that he's going to win?
The big money backing, the Gannett Enterprise.
So he has enough organization, enough corporations that's on his side. Which carries the media, which carries the leaflets, which carries the phone, robocall, all those things you think will give him enough edge to win.
Yes, and he was also at the Detroit Enterprise Economic Club Summit. And I wondered where the other candidates were, and he was there, and no one else made any public enunciation but all about Mr. Romney, how powerful his presentation was. Let me find out, it was the mass media that covered him that backed him in the first place. So he's going to win it through there.
Okay, I got you. So what do you make, and what I hear, though, is that if it wasn't for that, you think Rick Santorum would be next in line?
Yes.
What's the people's feel of Rick Santorum in Michigan?
Pretty much there's a lot of reserve about him, because they stated that he supported a lot of the porking-type conglomeracies when it came to the bridge project, and that he was also a wasteful spender, that he's considered as a moderate Republican because he supports a lot of Nancy Pelosi's, tenets and things of that measure, that he would not be good for the conservative party because he's too mediocre, he's not well-knowledge, he doesn't have enough clout and enough experience. So they put all these things on the table. And I just think he don't have the outstanding name that the Romney's had. That's the reason why they turned against him.
Do you see, what about the ads? Do you see a lot of ads locally there against Rick Santorum or for Mitt Romney or for Ron Paul? Who has most of the ads on TV down there locally?
Actually, it's Mitt Romney. I just got through on Channel 2 here in Detroit.
Okay. Yeah, so he has the organization. Wow.
Yeah, about Romney. This group claims to be nonpartisan, but they're putting out all the bad jargon about Santorum be supporting Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
He's a moderate, knowledgeable, and all of it.
Wow. So have you heard Rick Santorum's comment about calling President Obama a snob?
You know, and he called him a snob, and someone rumored and said somebody called him literally a racist. How is this man a racist? How is he a snob?
I haven't heard that. I'm gonna play the soundbite. Oh, let me get you to respond. Hold on for a second.
Turn it up, Patrick.
Get value in the marketplace for their skills. And I know what it means to have those manufacturing jobs at those entry levels that get you in there and gives you the opportunity to accumulate more skills over time and rise so you can provide a better standard of living for your family. And that those opportunities for working men and women, not all folks are gifted in the same way. Some people have incredible gifts with their hands. Some people have incredible gifts and use and want to work out there making things. President Obama once said he wants everybody in America to go to college. What a snob. They're good, decent men and women who go out and work hard every day and put their skills to test that aren't taught by some liberal college professor and trying to indoctrinate them. Well, I understand why he wants you to go to college. He wants to remake you in his image. I want to create jobs so people can remake their children into their image, not his.
Okay, so that's the sound bite of Rick Santorum calling the president a snob and all of the other implications inside there. So, Abby, what do you think about that comment?
You know what? He did more damage to himself than good for himself. Now, he strengthens the cause of Romney. He really strengthens the cause of Romney. He lost a lot of his dignity in making that statement because, number one, he has an issue perhaps with listening as opposed to hearing. When you listen, you're paying close attention and you're garnering what's important and what's not important, discerning. He didn't say that he wants everybody to go to college. He wants them to have the opportunity to go to college, to improve the quality of their
right,
life.
Right.
See, and he says what he wants to say because he's desperate. He knows that he's beneath Mitt Romney as far as his rating, his financial backing is concerned. This is a very desperate man. But nevertheless, despite what he says and what he does, if not at all a damaging statement would have been made, and it was made, he is going to feel the domino effects of it because he's certainly not going to win Michigan despite all of the instabilities about Romney's character and his father's track record. He's going to not only pull with the corporates behind that, he's going to gain even more influence, even with the generalized voters, because that was ridiculous. And when I told you about the rumor him calling Obama a racist was not done in a public setting, but a very pronounced young lady who's affiliated with the National Education Association stated that he made a statement about being a racist, because look at the composition of his cabinet. Oh, my goodness, it looks like a rainbow establishment. Nobody's one color up there. But how can he be a racist?
Interesting.
So judging behind hearing that, I just believe that he said it.
Right. So, Jamie, what do you think, if everything that Abby says is true, what does Rick Santorum go from here?
He'll go till the end of Super Tuesday. So they have Michigan and Arizona this week, and then they have the rest of those states on next Tuesday. And so depending on where he falls there will determine whether or not he'll stay in. Now, I just read on Twitter that he's due to get Secret Service protection starting tomorrow in Grand Rapids, so I wonder what that's all about.
It sounds like to me that's political posturing, right? I mean, you're trying to look presidential.
You know, we paying for that. Don't we pay for that?
Yeah, we do.
Anybody trying to do nothing to you, Rick Santorum, but anyway.
I mean, he is making some crazy statements, you know, so I don't know. He may need, I ain't gonna tell him.
That's very true. I take that back because he who knows? So he'll stay in it because somebody, I'm sure, is going to, if he comes in a close second in Michigan, he'll get some money. He'll get a bump. I know that to be true because that's just how, their politics plays out. I doubt if he wins in Arizona because it seems like Arizona's Governor Jan Brewer, she endorsed Mitt Romney today. It hadn't worked for him in the past because he didn't win South Carolina, and that governor endorsed him too. So it's the people that's voting is an interesting block of people because, they don't seem to be voting for their interest. They're just voting on personality stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree with you there. So what's making Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich stay in the race? Timo, what's making them stay in the race?
Ego. I mean, Ron Paul has already said he's not going to seek another term in his House of Representatives. So once he's done with this, he really don't have nothing else to do. So, and he got the money, so why not stay
here?
And Newt Gingrich, his is all about ego. He told y'all he was in this until the bitter end. You can best believe he meant that. He might have no commercials on TV. He might not win another race. But he told y'all he was not getting out. And he's taking this all the way. So I'm going to take him at his word. Hey,
yeah. That's fine.
But what is he doing? I mean, what's his purpose, though? I mean, I can understand what I hear you say is that he really don't have anything to go back to.
Right.
And he's really not competing. So he's just kind of hanging around. I mean, most people, when they're hanging around, they got a purpose, even if they're freeloading, for example, you know. Even
but look at all the mass attention you get when you're on the campaign trail. Every news person, every news station has somebody in your camp following you around just in case they get to be the breaking news story. So you got all these media people, you got access to the media, you got some free media, you know, when you go on there and do some interviews. And so that's going to show in every state several times, you know, depends on where you're at. You're still going to all the debates. I mean, so, you know, you just, it's all about ego. And you get to stand in front of people, whether it's 500 people or 5 people, you get to stand in front of people and act like you somebody important and, you know, espouse all these words of wisdom and make yourself seem like something that you really are not. But if somebody is going to pay to come hear you, then go ahead on and tell them what you think they want to hear.
And Abby, why you think they're standing, Abby?
That's why I'm like Gina, and I kind of planned that out, that they're going to try to become a commercialized name. Even though, like, Al Gore was not given the presidential victory, as we know he won, he became a very well announced and respected public speaker. So he's going all around the country making hundreds and millions of dollars just public speaking. And I think the two of them are definitely looking in that venue because they have nothing much else to look forward to. So I think they think it's going to make them more, you know, marketable as a commodity when it comes to getting public presentations, perhaps a few minor movie scripts or even a book. What better way to make an exodus?
I can see that. I can see that for Newt Gingrich. But Ron Paul has a life, and he has other options and other things he can do. So I don't understand why he's hanging around. And I've also heard that he is attacking everybody but Mitt Romney as if he's trying to get the nod from Mitt Romney to do something. Now, I don't see how any Republican candidate could appoint Ron Paul to any position in the White House because he's too polarizing. I mean, he's too extreme.
He is. And we still have to think him probably seeking or believing that Romney will turn toward him and say, okay, you'll be my vice president, you'll be my secretary of state.
To Ron Paul?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it'll destroy any presidential candidate's chances if he announces Ron Paul anything before they're elected to office. Now, after he's elected to office, and based on deals that maybe got done, I believe that may be a case. But as far as trying to get Ron Paul, on the ticket or, you know, remotely a cabinet position prior to getting elected, I think it could destroy. Because, I mean, he's too extreme. What do you think, Jima?
Yeah, no, I don't think he'd say anything beforehand. But, you know, Ron Paul has been very conciliatory towards Mitt Romney. So he's doing that for a reason. And like I said, we know he's not going to go back to Congress. And he definitely probably can't go back to practicing medicine. So he needs to go do something, ride off into the sunset. So, you know, maybe he's vying for some sort of position, you know, on some, you know, maybe not a cabinet level, but some other level in the Mitt Romney White House. I don't know. I don't understand it because he's not going to win the nomination. He's not even, you know, and so it almost seems like it's a waste of time, but as I stated, you got people following you around.
Right.
You on TV every other night. people calling you for your opinion about something, that it's an ego boost.
Right,
it is
right,
a complete
right.
ego boost. That's why you can't get rid of Herman Cain. You turn around and, you know, here he popping up. Michelle Bachman, here she popping up. Why don't y'all go somewhere and sit down?
Yeah, yeah.
But John Huntsman, I mean, they all keep popping up on some level. And you're like, why? Just go on and fade off into the sunset, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And, and do whatever it is you doing, but just, you know, I'm just go do that. So, but this should be interesting. We get through March, we should find out, you know, who's left standing, you know, who can take all the bullet shots, because they shooting at each other. And it's been interesting because Newt Gingrich ain't got a lot of money right now, so he kind of laying low because, you know, he don't plan on winning in Michigan or Arizona anyway. But he's counting his eye on his on the southern strategy. So we'll see what happens when it goes down south.
That's true.
Wow.
All right, Abby, any final thoughts?
Interesting show, wonderful dialogue. People, expand your concept about what the current president is doing by going to obamaforamerica.com/tellthetruth. Do check the icon. You will get a whole itinerary, the statistical facts about what President Obama has done, what he has accomplished, and it is phenomenal. No one could ever argue that. They may hate on him, but they have to agree. This is the best darn president we've had since Franklin D. Roosevelt in the new era.
I have to agree. Jima, final comments?
Final comment is just please, please, please check your state's registration as it relates to your voting. Make sure that you have the right ID, the right paperwork. I know here in the state of Texas we haven't got our new cards yet, so that's a problem. So, you know, let's make sure that you're up to date on all of that. Make sure you know what's going to be needed come your primary season as well as the general election. You do not want to wait till the last minute to get things in order.
All right, that's our show for today. I would like to thank all my listeners out there for tuning in. And then, yes, that's you, Green Beasley. We see you out in the chat room. Yeah, you got some stimulating dialogue, to say the least, out there, Green Beasley. We see you and we welcome you and we appreciate all your comments out there. And, of course, a special thanks to Abby Phelps. That's right, the Motor City Maharani, joining TaylorMade Training and Consulting. Joining us on TaylorMade Talk Radio, and we love it. Yes, we do. And, of course, the wonderful, the magnificent Jima Hill Cook. Now, don't forget to follow her on Twitter, and that's at AskJima. That's AskJema. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. Now remember, it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to Current Events with Patrick Cook. And don't forget to bookmark this site and visit our blog. And that's at TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com. That's TAILORMADE TalkRadio.blogspot.com. You're listening to the sounds of Joyce Spencer in Sweet Dreams. Take us away, Joyce.